All right, our studies the last couple of weeks in 1 John have been dealing with the subject of love. Love, particularly between brothers and sisters in Christ. It's interesting, the subject of love is probably the most fascinating subject to the minds of the people of the world. Think about it. How many books have been written concerning love, romance novels and that type of thing? How many songs have been sung with the subject of love? The world is fascinated by the subject of love. And yet, at the very same time, there is one song that probably speaks most truthfully to the subject and yet makes the most pitiful statement about it. It's a song that was recorded back in the 1960s by Jackie DeShannon. What the world needs now is love. The pitiful thing is, the second line goes, because that's the only thing that there's just too little of. And that's the truth. If the world could be a loving world, what a place it would be. Well, that was the thought of the 60s. The love in generation. Free love and all that kind of stuff. That was going to change the world. And if you listen to the music of the 60s, you kind of get the idea of we're finally getting things on track here and the world's going to become a better place. And I reminisce to some of those songs back then, and I think, well, it's been 50-some years since those songs came out, and how much better is the world today than it was back then? How much has the love of the 60s transformed the world? And there's just too little of it. What is the problem? Why can man be so fascinated with love and yet love so little? Well, the problem is man doesn't know what love is really about. What is real love? In the Greek language, there are three words that can be translated by the English word love. Two of them are found in the New Testament. One is not found, but the concept is found, and that's the Greek word eros. We get our English word erotic from it. And generally, when we think of something erotic, we put a negative tone to it. And more than likely, it's probably used in that sense. But it can be used in a very positive sense. It is the love that, within the relationship of a marriage union, is to be expressed between a husband and a wife. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 16, where he says that you can give yourself to fasting but for a while, but after the fasting is over, you are to come together. Well, that's the concept there of that type of love. But out of the context of a marriage relationship, it is absolutely sin. Hebrews chapter 13 says that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. There's the concept. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And there's the negative aspect to it. The problem with eros is that it is a self-satisfying love. Generally, it's sensual in nature, and it's done for selfish purposes. In a good sense, selfish, but nonetheless selfish. Another word that's used in the Greek New Testament is the Greek word phileo. A philanthropist, made up of two words, phileo and anthropos, man. A philanthropist literally is a lover of mankind. Consequently, he's giving to man. Phileo love is a wonderful love. In fact, it says that the Father phileos the Son. There are qualities in that type of love. It's more of a warm expression. It's an appreciating love. It finds qualities in the one that is loved that are worth loving, or a necessary type of love. But the love that John has been speaking about all throughout his epistle here is from the word agape, or the verb agapao. It is a self-sacrificing love. It is the love that is spoken of in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world." And because The world doesn't understand that love and relates at best on the phileo level and mostly on the eros level. The world is in a terrible, terrible place. If only we could practice agape. But what really is the practice of agape? Our text tonight deals with that type of love. If you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, and we're beginning at verse 7. There are four things that I want us to see about this type of love tonight. The first is found here in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Interesting how this starts out. Back in the end of chapter 3, we find that loving one another is a commandment. Verse 23 says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's a commandment. While love is commanded, agape love cannot be forced. Agape type of love, real love, does not need a commandment. It happens on a natural basis. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 that God has shed abroad love in our hearts. His love. And that's what he's talking about here. Beloved, let us love. Interesting, in the Greek language where there's a commandment, you'll find a verb in an imperative sense. That's what commands are about. They're imperatives. Do this. But the verb here to love is not an imperative. It's a subjunctive. And consequently, you translate it, let us do it. Let us choose to love one another. Why? What if I don't feel like it? Well, if you don't feel like it, something's wrong. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The very nature of God's love, in fact, the very nature of God, becomes our nature when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. We are transformed individuals. That love that He had for us should be our love for one another. It's just a matter of, are we going to choose to do it or not? Not because I have to, but because I want to. There was no reason that God had to love us other than the fact that it was His very nature to love. The world can only come up to a phileo type of love. When we find something that's worthy of loving, then we'll express it somehow, sometimes in a self-gratifying way, sometimes in a appreciative way, but never because it's the nature of that person. Why? Well, verse 8 says that they can't. And that's point two. While love may be expressed by everyone, agape type love emanates from God and is therefore only able to be expressed by believers. What the world needs now is love. Not eros, not phileo, but agape. But agape love can only be expressed by believers. There's this thing in the New Testament called the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel. That's a command, isn't it? And we do so out of necessity because it's a command. But you know what? Sometimes we fall short in our evangelism because we don't go out with necessarily the right heart motivation. The right heart motivation for evangelism is, first of all, a love for God. I'll do this because your love has already transformed me. But that very same love that loved me should be my love for the world. And since the world can't make the world a better place, It's only by Christians transforming the world through the preaching of the gospel that the world will become a better place. We were out, was it yesterday or Friday? I forget what day it was, but we came home and there was a thing on our doorknob for a candidate for office. And I was looking it over this afternoon just to see where it was. I saw on the front that he was pro-life and pro-Second Amendment. And I said, okay, well, those are good things in my book. I'm going to find out what there is about him that would make me, what else would make me want to vote for this guy. And I was looking to see if he had anything concerning his spiritual background. Yes, he did. Unfortunately, it wasn't of a Bible-believing nature. And I said, you know what? I would rather, not that I won't vote for this guy, but I certainly would rather have a Christian in office who held to these positions than a non-Christian in office. Now, I don't know who he's running against or anything, but I'm going to check those things out. I'm thankful for non-Christians who will hold to a biblical moral. But non-Christians can't change the world. Governments won't change the world. We've had 6,000 years of human government. And we keep talking about the good old days. Why aren't we talking about the better old days that are coming? Because as the world goes along, it's getting worse and worse. And I don't see any way that it's going to get better and better without Jesus Christ. If we really want to transform the world, we need to share the love of God and see people come to Christ. Love can be expressed by all, except a real type of love, which is agape love. Thirdly, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. While love recognizes qualities worth loving in others, true agape type love loves even when there are none of them. Why did God love me? And Roy's shaking his head back there and scratching it and saying, I have no idea. It's okay. He loved me for the very same reason He loved you. None of us have any idea. Because God is love. That's what our text says. It was the very nature of God to love when there was nothing. Well, wait a minute. Hold the bus. You mean there is nothing amongst the congregation here tonight that is good? There's no academic or intellectual capabilities that any of us have that makes us acceptable to God. There are no physical abilities. There are no social abilities, emotional abilities. Certainly, we can't be despicable, can we? In the sight of an infinitely holy God, yes, we are. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved. Do you know they wanted to get rid of that word? There were some who were trying to replace that word in the thing because they said, we're not wretched. We might not be the best, but we're not wretched. In the sight of an infinitely holy God, unsaved mankind is wretched. And yet God loved us. God loved us when there was nothing lovely about us. I got to tell you, I fell in love with my wife. I've told the story before. She came and applied for a job at my dad's restaurant. And I was just 17 at the time, 18 at 17 or 18 at the time. I don't remember exactly how old I was. But I had never dated up until that point in time. And my interest in the opposite gender was just starting to blossom. I really didn't care about girls too much up to that point in time. But as these young ladies came in and started working, I started noticing who they were. And I said to myself, well, there's a good-looking woman. And then I watched how she worked. She was a hard worker. And I said, there are two qualities that make me attracted to her. And the rest is history. I found something in her that was worth loving. And you know what? The other ones that I didn't find as attractive or as hardworking or as pleasant or whatever, I really didn't want anything to do with them. I mean, I was kind and so forth to them. I was sociable. I wanted no romantic interest with them. They just didn't appeal to me. I find it hard to understand how great God's love is when I really didn't appeal to Him in my sinful state, and yet He loved me. While love recognizes qualities, real agape-type love loves when there are no qualities worth loving. Verse 10 is the fourth one, and 11. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction of the righteousness of God, the qualities that God has demanded upon sin for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. While love may have its limits, real love has none. Do you ever get fed up with somebody? Do you ever come to the point and say, that's it, I can't stand it no more? I think of the old Popeye cartoon. Remember the old Popeye cartoons? That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And he pops out this can of spinach, transforms into almost a superhuman being. Well, we don't have cans of spinach that we carry around with us. And in our natural state, we endure some people for a time until they reach the limit. And you say, that's it, I want no more parts of that person. I've got to get away, I can't stand it anymore. And we stop loving them. I, unfortunately, hear of the common complaint in the breakup of marriages and people saying, we just don't love each other anymore. And my question is, did you ever? Because real love has no limits. No limits as to time. No limits as to who. Herein is not love. Not that we love God. Again, not that we were doing anything that drew us to Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not only the limitation on who, because He loved the whole world, but how He loved the whole world. Verse 11, if God so loved us. The word so is the Greek word houtos. In such a manner. If God in such a manner loved us, we ought also to love one another in the same manner. How did God love us? Well, He sent His Son. He was not willing to withhold anything to make us better, to make us what He designed us to be. The question is, how much are you willing to give? Real love says, I will place no limits on what I am willing to sacrifice in order to accomplish the will of God in that person's life. Do you realize that if the world loved like that, there would be no wars? There would be no poverty. There wouldn't be racial strife. All the things that we're dealing with today, the crime and everything. If all the world loved like that, I think we would be in the millennial kingdom. Because that's what the millennial kingdom will be like. And Jesus Christ will be ruling. Love may have its limits, but real love has none. Oh, if the world only understood love. Well, how are they going to understand it? They need to see it in you and I in action. We can preach it and we need to preach it, but they need to see it. And that will make a difference. God help us to pass the test of real love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this week. Thank you for this day where we can express love to moms. And as I said in the point to ponder this morning, may that be something that's done 365 days a year. But not just to moms, Lord. May we be found loving to all with the very same love that you loved us with. And in doing so, may we make a difference in the world. But most importantly, may we accomplish your will for us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.